Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Jihad Muhammad, and welcome to Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. Tonight, brothers and sisters, for our listening audience, we're going to take a little turn. Our topic tonight is Black America on lockdown. We have boots on the ground reports that should be coming in from New York City,
you have
Jackson, Mississippi.
Mailbox number 832887930 6. Please leave your message after the
Atlanta, Georgia. So let me get started right away and go into the news tonight of one of our beloved soldiers, longtime standard soldier, student in the ministry of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. Brother Harold Muhammad has made his return to Allah. And tonight we want to take a moment and honor our brother with some words of thoughts of encouragement. And those who would like to call in, please call in tonight if you have some words that you would like to say concerning Brother Harold, some experiences that you may have had with our brother. Just some encouraging words that you may have on your heart and your mind that you may want to say tonight. Tonight we have with us our panel guest tonight is Brother Attorney at Law, Brother Kenneth Muhammad. Brother Kenneth, are you there?
I'm here, Brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well, by Allah's grace.
I'm glad you can make it, beloved. Unfortunately, we were going to go into Black America on lockdown, but this is so important. Brother Harold was loved by the community at large, as well as the Nation of Islam, so we want to take a moment for that. Also, we have on the line with the Boots on the Ground report with us tonight to talk about this and another event that he has going on. We have a student minister here in Atlanta, Georgia, as well, who worked with Brother Harold Muhammad and student minister Abdul Sharif Muhammad, who is the Southern Regional Representative of the Nation of Islam, Brother Marcus Muhammad. Brother Marcus, are you there, sir?
I am, sir, by Allah's grace. How are you tonight?
Brother, I'm doing fine, dear brother, and I'm glad you can make it tonight. Is Brother Maurice on the line?
I am, sir.
All praises due to Allah. We brought back with us tonight Black by popular demand, our brother from Birmingham, Alabama, Magistrate Court Justice, Brother Maurice Muhammad. How are you tonight, beloved?
I am well, by Allah's grace. A little heavy-hearted, but we're well.
Yes, sir. And like I was telling the family at large, that we want to take a few moments to talk about our brother and take calls on this. Brother Marcus, could you go ahead, brother, and start us out and give us what's going on with the family, the mosque, as it relates to our dear brother, and what do they want the community at large? What would they need from us?
Well, first, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come on your program and greet all the brothers that are listening who are panelists as well with the greeting words, peace of assalamu alaikum. We were there with Sister Anissa last night at the hospital when, actually it was a couple hours after brother had expired, and we were in the room with her, and Sister Anissa is a true soldier for Islam. She was a soldier with her husband, And she is just, Allah is keeping her right now. She's very focused. I haven't seen any real signs of fatigue on her, although I know this has to be one of the most stressful times that she may have ever been through in her life. But we thank Allah for putting his spirit on her and keeping her calm and just keeping her sane and you know, through sanity in 2012. And, you know, brother was a mighty giant in the Nation of Islam.
Yes.
Who helped the Honorable Louis Farrakhan greatly. And he was an example to all of us of how to go through this struggle. He gave much of his life trying to be of assistance to the minister and to the nation, and served so many brothers and sisters throughout this country. And I thank Allah for getting to know him over the last few years of his life. You know, the African brothers and sisters have an expression that when a older man passes from among us, it is as if a library has burned to the ground.
Mm.
And that's what the feeling is when you see a brother like Brother Harold be taken from us. It is as if a library has been burned, because brother had so much knowledge and so much connections and has just been some of everywhere. We talked with him just a few days ago. He was explaining and sharing some of the experiences that Allah blessed him with. And, you know, Allah is so good that he allows a man to see and to experience so much. And all we have to do as brothers who may not have had those experiences is just ask good questions. And the excitement and the passion and the energy that comes up in that person as they share with you what they saw with their own eyes, what their experience was, you are learning through them vicariously what life was like or what that moment was like for them. And I just say that with Brother Harold, you know, Allah blessed him to see and to do a great deal with life. And he was a wonderful, beloved brother of ours, and he will be greatly missed by the family here in Atlanta and I'm sure all over this country.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely correct, beloved. And we thank you for that. I see that they're taking donations to help out with any arrangements that could be made for our brother's funeral, and that we can go to noiatlanta.org. And if we'd like to give something to help out, the funeral will be held on Friday, I understand, it's September 28th at Willie Watkins Funeral Home, located at 1003 Ralph David Abernathy Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310, at 11 o'clock a.m. And for those of us who would like to call, we can call at 404-758-1731. That's 404-758-1731. Thank you, beloved. I know you have another announcement. I want to continue with this, brother, if you don't mind, Brother Marcus, and then we're going to get to your other announcement, which is very mighty as well. Is there, Brother Vernon, is there any calls on the line that would like to express?
Yes, Brother Jahad. This is Sister Gidget. Assalamu
alaikum,
family.
Sister Gidget. Wa alaikum salam. Yes, ma'am, Sister Gidget. This is the director and the director of the programming for all of the shows for Nation Building. Sister Gidget, how are you, beloved?
I am fine. I'm heavy hearted in a way, you know, and but I know Allah knows what is best. I just wanted to say about Brother Harold, he was just a beautiful, beautiful spirit, a beautiful, loving brother, a brother who had the utmost respect for the MGT, always had a smile, always greeted you with a warm heart. And, you know, I was speaking with Brother Vernon earlier today, and I say, you know, a lot of times we forget to say I love you, and we have to really get back to that, because love is so motivational and it's such a healing tool. And so we really need to get back to that, because we never know when it's the last time, or we never know how much good it can do us, and especially for those of us who have 20, 30, 35, 40-year tenure in the nation. We should know one another. We should know what's going on with one another. We should reach for each other during these Ellen times, because I was just so upset that I didn't even know that he was that ill. So, you know, I know Allah knows best, but absolutely fond memories of him. I know he made a tremendous impression and impact on the FOI, and he'll always have a place in my heart, and that's all I wanted to say. I'm not going to linger on, but I'm going to stand on my square and represent what I believe. So before I depart, I want to say that I love you all, and I thank you all, and I appreciate you all. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Gidjon. Thank you for your words, my sister. Thank you so much for that.
All praise to the jihad. One more call on the line as well.
Oh, you have another call on the line? Okay. Yes, sir.
I'm 404-966.
Oh, yes. That's another Boots on the Ground report. Brother Vaughn, are you there, sir?
I am here, sir.
All praise is due to Allah. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm fine, dear brother. How about yourself and everyone?
Oh, brother, I'm fine. Thank Allah. I'm glad you called in. Brother Vaughn has another announcement as well. But right now, Brother Vaughn, would you like to hang on the line with us? We'll keep your mic open. Would you like to say anything about our brother student minister Harold Muhammad? I know you've soldiered with him since he's been in Atlanta as well.
Absolutely. First, let me greet everyone that is present on the panel. The greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
And, brother, you are absolutely correct. We, all of the 1-5 FOI, are heavy-hearted with the loss of our dear brother, student minister Harold Muhammad. That brother was such a high-spirited, high-powered teacher of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And the thing about brother that I personally will miss the most was he didn't let you be in his circumference and be down in spirit.
That's right.
Right.
What I remember most is he could sense in you, brother, if there's something wrong, what's wrong? How are you? How can I help you? Mm-hmm. So, and that is what I learned from the life of student minister Harold, is that no matter what's going on around you, find a reason to be up and lift those up who are around you. So it is in that spirit I want to carry on his memory.
Yes, brother. Praise be to Allah. Brother Kenneth, are you there, sir? You also served with him in the ministry here in Atlanta. Do you have anything you would like to say, sir?
Oh, yes, sir. Brother was a very, very beautiful brother. And I can only reflect over what we are taught by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. First of all, this life, you know, it's a short amount of time that each of us are here. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke recently on this in depth, and really what each of us are here to do is to serve the God that created us, to serve Allah, and to serve one another. And our brother was really a personification of that, because he lived his life in service of our people. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan teaches us that in doing that, in serving our people and devoting ourselves to Allah, who is eternal, we really make ourselves a part of something that is eternal. And, you know, with that, our brother really isn't gone. And we shouldn't, according to the Holy Quran, speak of a brother like him as being gone in one sense, because he really devoted himself, devoted his life, devoted his energy to something that will never pass away, and that is the establishment of the kingdom of God, the resurrection of those that are mentally dead, the teaching of truth. And in doing that, in being a blessing to each one of us, and touching each one of us with the word in that way, you know, those of us that are still here, that have received.
Somebody breaking up the line.
Oh, that.
Yes, sir, Brother Kenneth.
You know, I can only say that may Allah bless our brother and keep him and his family, and be pleased with him and what he has accomplished in this life.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Brother Vernon, I'm looking for Brother Student Minister Jamil Muhammad. He may be calling in on the 202 area code number. He's with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in New York and New Jersey, as the minister has been touring throughout the streets of those two states. And if you see his number, please give way to him, because that means he's taking a minute away to come and bless us with a few words on an update with what's going on up in New York and New Jersey. Let me say, on behalf of Brother, you know, we thank Allah for his coming in the person of Master Farah Muhammad and the raising of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, is how I know Brother Student Minister Harold Muhammad. I only know him to be a strong soldier in the word. Anytime I've ever had a conversation with Student Minister Harold, he always put the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings first. That's what he was known for. Anything that we were dealing with, he would find it in Scripture or find it in the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings and show you just why this happened, why that happened, or whatever. He was a soldier, and he strictly went by the word of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that brother, I will forever love him for what he has done for me with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Do we have anybody else on the line, Brother Vernon, that would like to chime in before we move on?
I'd like to.
Who's that, Brother Maurice?
This is Brother Marcus.
Oh, yes, sir, Brother Marcus. I'm sorry.
I wanted to add something that I think is a lesson that I've drawn in from this whole experience.
Yes.
And that is that we as men, we have to take the best care of our health, because oftentimes in a family setting, everyone else is taking care of their health, but the man is not. And as men, we must take care of our health. If we know that, you know, we have not been to the doctor, we have to go, and we have to go regularly, and we are expected to take care of the basic stuff that all men have to take care of. All men have to get a regular checkup from a doctor. All men have to check in their blood. All men have to check urine and just check to make sure everything is okay. And it's a reluctance in us as men to do these things for ourselves, and it puts an unfair burden on many of our sisters when they have to drag us and pull us and convince us and get other brothers to talk to us. And, you know, they have to go through so much to make us as men take care of our own health. And I think that if I draw any lessons from this whole experience, is the minister, when he did that lecture on all is vanity, you know, when I sat there with my brother last night, I really reflected over the fact that we don't have as much time as we think we do. And we better be about the business of trying to take care of ourselves, our families, and the nation's business. Because like that sister said, none of us know when our time is going to come. We're not guaranteed long, long lives. So we better do everything we can while we have this moment in time, because you never know when your turn will come. I've been to several Muslim funerals over these last 2 years, and I'm telling you, most of them have been men. Most of them have been brothers. So we should all be, you know, thinking about that. We need to be thinking about our health and whether we're overweight or not, and what we can do right now to try to get our health back in order, you know. You look at, even on the national scene, so many brothers, so many black men. We've lost so many entertainers. Gerald LaVert. We've lost, you know, you can run the list of just
and
the
very
men.
Young.
We,
very young.
We have lost over this year. Just a couple of days ago, we lost our big brother. I can't call his name right now, but the actor, 52 years old. So we as men, we got to be very careful with our health. Women take care of their health. You know, it's almost a natural thing that women know that as even as young girls, that they take good care of their health. But it's something in us as men where we don't think that maybe we need to be as concerned about ours as everybody else is. And I'm just encouraging tonight, using this story as a segue into that, please, brothers, let's take care of our health.
Brother,
thank
you're
you.
So right. Go ahead, brother. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm not cutting you off. Go ahead, brother.
No, that's all. I don't want to belabor the point.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. Thank you for that, brother. And that's a warning that it can't be said enough, because tonight we'll hear it, and then in 2 weeks we need to hear it again. Because
yes,
a lot
sir.
Of us, as black men, and to be honest with you, brother, some of us are scared to go to a doctor.
That's right.
We don't want to get the report. You know, and
that's right.
I've listened to Tom Jones' morning show, and he was saying how difficult it was to get black men to go to a doctor, because most of us are scared to go because
that's
we don't
right.
want to hear the findings.
Right.
You know.
That's
and
right.
So we need to trumpet this over and over and over and over again, and drill
and,
it into our minds.
And
you're
you know what else?
Right. Yes, sir.
You know what else, brother? We need
yes,
to
sir.
Get married. Because mm-hmm. some of that is the, now I'm going to say not some of it, a whole lot of that is the problem. We're single men trying to do this thing by ourselves, and the stress of just being a black man. I ain't talking about a productive black man. I'm not talking about an unproductive black man. I'm just talking about being a black man in America. That stress alone is enough to kill you.
Absolutely.
But then you factor in that you're a conscious black man trying to follow the bold, brilliant leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Oh, my God.
Yes.
That adds a whole bunch of stress to you, you know. But if you had a woman who was trained in the MGT class that could cook for you and prepare
yes.
that delicious bean soup, Donald B. Lodge's mama said if we ate just the bean soup alone, we could live to see 150 years, I think he said. So, you know, when you think about that, if we would just lay off the taco hell, if we would lay off Murder King, if we would lay off eating at Champs and all these fast food joints that are our favorites, maybe we could see a little bit longer time on the earth.
That's right. Praise be to Allah, brother. You're absolutely right, brother. And thank you again. Brother Maurice Mohammed, sir.
Yes, sir.
Brother, would you like to chime in on Brother Harold?
Oh, my goodness. You know, when I heard the news, my heart just sank, because Brother Harold was the personification of brotherhood.
Yeah.
He was personification of humility in terms of an example of how to give yourself for this great word. You know, brother, talk, sit down and talk to Brother Harold. Brother Harold's experience in the ministry was extensive. You know, he just didn't minister in Atlanta, but he had ministered pretty much all over the nation in different
yes.
parts, and he would pick up and leave and go and give of himself
right.
in Pennsylvania and New Orleans and all over Louisiana. And then after Katrina, he migrated to Atlanta. And I hold him very dear to my heart, because as I was a young student minister in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, when we were in the process of refurbishing and dedicating our mosque, Brother Sharif, our regional minister, could not make it. So he sent Brother Harold.
Right.
And that brother did a wonderful job in the dedication of the mosque in Tuscaloosa. And it was the first time in 30 years that they had had a study group or a mosque in that
yes.
great city.
Wow.
And it was very fitting that he would set the pace and with his spirit. And when you talk to him, it was always uplifting. You know, just talking to him was like a lecture. You right in the middle of the conversation, you're bearing witness. That's right. Go ahead and teach, brother. You know, he'll get fired up, you know, right in the middle of the conversation. You know, and so, you know, brother was a very strong example of what we should be growing into as men. And he was a fine example of what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is producing, and may Allah be pleased with him, and may we
yes.
continue to take his memory on, so that brothers like Brother Harold will not be forgotten, neither will their families be forsaken.
Absolutely, brother. Amen. Absolutely. Brother Vernon, is there any more calls of anyone who would like to express themselves and show some love to our brother tonight?
No, sir. I don't see. Oh. We have a lot of callers on the line, but I don't see anyone whose hand is raised. And it turns out that noise that we were getting in the background is the brother with the boots on the ground report, the brother from 404-966.
Okay. I tell you what we'll do. We'll keep that this segue open for the rest of the night because maybe some people just don't want to say anything right now. But we're going to move into a boots on the ground report. Also in Atlanta, Georgia tonight, Brother Abdul Sharif Muhammad is doing some work down there, and every time, he does some work, we want to know about it on here and put it out live so everybody can be aware. And I want to encourage all the cities. This line is your line. This is not Brother Jihad's line. We set this line up for you to call in, to express, let us know what you're doing in your city that we can help boost whatever you're doing and show some support and show some love. Whether you in Los Angeles, Oakland, California, Jackson, Mississippi, Houston, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Newark, New Jersey, New York, Brooklyn, makes no difference. This is your line. And if you would like to have anything talked about on this line, you can email me at jihad.muhammad, the number 50, at yahoo.com. That's jihad, J-I-H-A-D, dot Muhammad, 50, at yahoo.com. And we will make it happen. This line was created for you. That's why it's called Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. Let me move on. We got boots on the ground report of something going on in Atlanta, Georgia. Let me bring my brother in, Brother Vaughn, and then Brother Marcus has a great announcement as well. He's got some things going on. Brother Vaughn, would you go right ahead, sir?
Yes, sir. Dear brother, I'm once again, brothers.
Yes, sir. Thanks for
that.
Dear brother, it is such an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to represent, or at least attempt to represent, the Ministry of Arts and Culture to you all here in Atlanta, Georgia. It is headed by our dear sister named Adila Muhammad, who works very hard to make sure those who have any talent, those who have any gift of any kind that Allah has given them to give to the rest of the believers. Now, what Sister and we are doing is giving them a platform for the rappers, the singers, the dancers, the poets, the artists, the musicians to give the world what God has given them.
Mm-hmm.
Too often, the devil snaps up our gifted ones and takes them into an industry and then turns them out.
Right.
When we have these kind of gifts among our youth, it is incumbent upon us as righteous thinking men and women to harness it, channel it, and make sure that the public can know when the people believe in Allah, when the young people are with Allah and His messenger, we can give them good, wholesome, righteous entertainment. So with that said, this Saturday at 7 p.m. at Muhammad Mosque 15 here in Atlanta, Georgia, we are blessed, privileged, and pleasure to give to the believers a great benefit concert. The purpose of the concert is to raise funds and keep the doors of Muhammad Mosque open to the public, and also to give the youth who have the talents I just mentioned a platform to do what they do. It's going to be a terrific show. It's headlined by our brother who's local here, Brother Greco. He is now known internationally with his several albums. He's been in the hip-hop industry for quite some time, and Brother promises a great show. It is also going to be including some great spoken word artists, a well-known brother here in Atlanta by the name of Zach the Singer, who is an R&B superstar in the
brother
making.
Brother Zach, yes.
Absolutely, and many, many others.
Beautiful, brother. And this is at what time again?
So that show starts at 7. The doors open here at 6. The tickets are only $10, and again, it's going to help keep the lights on and the doors open of Muhammad Mosque 15 to make sure that we can keep getting the word out to our people and giving them a beachhead behind enemy lines.
Now, this is sponsored by Sister Adila.
Adila is her name. Again, she is the head chairperson of the Ministry of Arts and Culture, and today I'm speaking on her behalf.
Brother, please tell Sister that she's welcome on this show anytime, and if she has any projects that she wants to promote, tell her to come on out on the front line with the soldiers, if she don't mind, and let us talk, and we'll put it out for her. We're going to back her and do whatever we can. art and culture is beautiful. You know, it was said that those who study art and music, they actually use more part of their brain than the average person. See, because music is vibration.
Yes, sir.
See, and a lot of people don't realize that when you take music out of the schools, sometimes the children begin to lessen in their education, because what people don't realize is that music helps them. It helps them to breathe and express in avenues and ways that average people don't do. This is why a lot of musicians sometimes has been always said they're misunderstood. They don't think like a lot of people do. They think from a different level. And they have a third eye, very spiritual eye. And so I grew up playing the trumpet myself in school, and I thank Allah for the music program that was in school when I was in the fifth grade. I went all the way through high school and had a scholarship to go to Florida A&M just playing trumpet. You know, and that music program kept a lot of us off the street. You know, so, brother, I applaud this, and I hope we can get a lot of people to come out to do this benefit concert with you. And, Brother Vaughn, please don't hesitate. If there's something else that you would like to bring on the air to let us know, we have quite a few listeners. And we also, people go into the archives and pull up this show. They'll pull it up all in the course of the night and all throughout the course of the week. You'll see people pulling up this show. So anytime you want to bring something on the air, brother, please bring it to the forefront, and we will back it 1,000%, sir.
Brother, I want to thank you so much. I want to thank your listeners for having me, and I just really want to close with this thought.
Yes, sir.
Our youth are under attack.
Yes.
They're using our culture and music known as hip-hop to attack them.
Mm.
Now, for those who have studied this art, I have been a 20-plus year student of the art and culture of hip-hop music. If you know anything about this art, it was born in the projects of the Bronx, New York.
Mm-hmm.
It has since spread around the world. The enemy has put his hands around it and took it not just from us, but from all the original people, and made it his tool to dumb our people down. So it is so important that we give those who have something of value to say, using this medium known as hip-hop, a platform to do so.
Brother,
so that's like, if you, sir?
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
So if you ever have any artist that's a Muslim artist that is representing the word of Allah, or representing or repeating what saith the Lord, or what saith our teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and his top student, the Honorable Louis Farrakhan, we need to find a way to not only distribute, but push back and support that kind of artist.
Beautiful. I got a question I want to ask you. Do you think that some of the hip-hop, especially the game when they came in with the gangster rap, from conscious rap to gangster rap, do you think that some forms of hip-hop has inspired criminal activity, which is helping to feed the prison industrial complex?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I can go as far as to say that people sit in boardrooms in high-rise buildings downtown and plan it. I could tell you stories of artists who have come out and said, I have sent in my final recordings to be distributed by the company, and they rejected it because it was too much positivity. They sent it back to me and said, we need more swear words and curse words and B words and N words. And some artists, in order so they could eat, they had to redo their vocals per the bidding of some record executive. So I can bear witness to that, sir.
What targeted audience age group are these devils targeting?
I would have to say their target audience is 18 to 25.
And that's the high incarceration rate, Brother Maurice, of the prison industrial complex, that age group right there. Wow.
So it is of utmost importance that we can give a platform to our artists. And as you know, the radio day in and day out is filled with filth and garbage. And it's not that the brothers who are doing this filth and garbage are not intelligent. Some of them I've met and sat with, and some of them are very, very bright and humble people. But in order to them to feed their families, they're submitting to the enemies who pay their checks.
My goodness. Yes.
And
sir.
We've got so many gifted people. The radio was ran by our enemies, so they won't give them an equivalent time frame to share the word. So that's what this program is about, dear brother, giving our people a platform with something to say.
Thank you, beloved. Thank you very much, sir. And if you want to hang on, you can. We'll leave your mic open, or if you got to go, I understand. But if you want to hang on, we'll leave your mic open. If you want to chime in, please feel free.
Thank you, sir.
Brother Jihad?
Yes, sir.
We do have more callers that are raising their hand, one from the 205 area code and one from the 205-800, one from 314-475.
314. Okay, yes, sir, please.
My hometown, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes.
I'll bring them both.
Okay, who do we have on the line right now? Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Out on the Front Line with the Fruit of Islam. Who do we have?
Brother Gene.
Brother Gene?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir. You got a final call news report for us tonight, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, hold on to that for a moment. Hold on to that report for a moment. Brother Gene has the new final call and is going to give us what's going on in our latest and greatest final call newspaper. Anybody else on the line?
There's
Jihad,
the call.
Maurice just chiming back in.
Okay,
I lost
okay.
Momentarily.
Beautiful. Okay, we're going to get right to the heat of the meat of the matter tonight. But first, let me get back with Brother Marcus Muhammad, who has something fabulous going on. Brother Marcus, can you come on back in, sir, and talk to us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, sir. Go right ahead.
All praise due to Allah. I just would like to promote to the believing family, brothers and sisters, that we are now getting ready to host our third annual marriage retreat.
Praise
and
be.
And this marriage retreat is for the brothers and sisters who are married, who are trying to stay married in 2012. Allah has blessed us where we did our first annual marriage retreat. We did that in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Our second annual marriage cruise, it was a cruise to the Bahamas last year. And this year we're going to the beautiful islands of Jamaica on the Love
wow.
Boat.
Go
and
ahead,
if
brother.
You and your spouse are just in need of some together time, some alone time, time away from them sharing, we have this crew set up for you, and we have a wonderful rate of just $900 per couple. And
wow.
that is for 6 days and five nights.
Wow.
Leaving out on December the 15th, that's a Saturday, in Miami, Florida, and returning back to Miami, Florida on December the 20th. It's a beautiful opportunity for you and your spouse to work through some issues on a boat that's going to be cruising. We're going to be in two places in Jamaica. We're going to be in the Grand Cayman Islands, and we're also going to do a wedding renewal ceremony, God willing, inshallah, in Ochos Rios, Jamaica, this year as well, on the beach. And we're trying to help those of us who have committed to that journey that we heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan describe as one half of our faith, based on what Prophet Muhammad said to us. And if we don't work on our marriages, then we're going to be standing in the same line, that divorce court line, that so many other brothers and sisters have done. In our community, we have way too much divorce. And if we've been listening to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we have heard him say out of his beloved mouth that divorce is the number one threat to the nation of Islam. It's the number one a threat to our national security. And I don't know why we don't take this more seriously.
than we do. But if we have a nation full of single people, then the nation doesn't have any perpetuity. We have to help folks to get married and stay married once they've made that commitment. Now, the minister is not going to do that part for you and me.
That's right.
He's
That's right.
married. He has spent, well, I think it's 52 years. They just celebrated last week, him and his beloved wife, sister, Mother Khadijah Muhammad, so, right. Farrakhan. So, I mean, what do we look like, you know, asking the minister to come to the cruise to help us with our marriage when he's already put so much wonderful information out here? The time may have arrived for us to begin to look at our marriages and understand that we're married to this man, we're married to this woman, and really strive to work it out. We have wonderful exercises that will help you and your wife, you and your husband, to work, to talk, to have some breakthroughs right on this cruise. And we can assure you, with the help of Allah, that if you come, you're going to learn a lot. You're going to have a lot of quality alone time with your spouse, and you all can do some working things out while you're on this cruise together.
What's the deadline, Brother Marcus?
Well, we've come all the way from last year to this year, and we're approaching the deadline on this October 16th, the Day of Atonement. We're approaching
wow.
the deadline, and that's
okay.
when all monies have to be in to Carnival Cruise Lines, who we're traveling with again this year. And our website is www.blackmarriageretreat.com. That's www.blackmarriageretreat.com. And
wow.
we invite everyone to come to it and, you know, register. We have a $30 registration. That's per couple. It's not individual. It's per couple. And then we will give you all the information you need to register. And we have brothers and sisters coming from throughout the country with the help of Allah who's really trying to work on their marriages. There are no know-it-alls. If you're looking for a grand know-it-all to be on this cruise, some magic facilitator who's able to press a button or wave a wand in front of you and your wife, then that's not going to happen. You know, this is about us as Muslims working on our own marriages and talking to the person that we said I do to, as Brother Sharif always reminds us of at the fabulous second service we always have every week in Atlanta. He always reminds us that when you said your vows, you said your vow to Allah. He heard you. And he's going to call you on what you said. You said in sickness and health. You said till death do you part. What we're just simply trying to offer believers is skill building. We need
yeah.
advanced relationship skills. It's bigger than we ought to be able to work this out because we both like eating bean soup. It's bigger than we both love bean pie, so we ought to be able to work this out. No, there's some skills that we need. Maybe there's some things that you're doing as a man that's rubbing your wife the wrong way. Maybe you're arrogant. Maybe you don't have anybody who will tell you that, and your wife is trying to tell you that maybe you're destroying the relationship. Maybe, sister, it's you. Maybe you're the one with the issue.
Right.
Because it works both ways. And I do a lot of marriage counseling around the you know, sisters trying to say to the brother, like it's all his fault. And then we ask her to look at this and look at that. And she sees that she bears some responsibility. So this is not about blaming the man or blaming the woman. It's about actual facts and truth and righteousness and helping couples to get back to the table of communication. Because there ain't nothing like communication. And our minister said there is no relationship if there is no communication.
Brother Marcus, I want to tell you, brother, that you are a godsend.
I'll pray for
you. You are a godsend. And I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Brother Khadijah Muhammad, the minister in Washington, D.C., can bear me witness
yes.
if you ever get a chance to talk to him about this. When we first came to help the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we were young. And we got married young. And I didn't know Muslims took vacations until I moved to Atlanta. I came to Atlanta in 1994. Never,
uh-huh.
ever taken a vacation. Do you know what my honeymoon was like? We went to Chicago to work for Savior's Day.
See, that's a lot of believers are like that, brother.
And so,
ain't never
you
been
know,
nowhere.
We need someone or some bodies to keep this in the forefront, because I had to change my attitude. I didn't know,
that's
Brother
right.
Khadir. We didn't know. In Newark, New Jersey, Miles 25, we never took vacations. We worked every day. The mosque doors were open 7 days a week, night and day.
Yes,
and
sir.
The minister said in 1993, when we went to California for Savior's Day, he said pound for pound, Newark was the number one mosque in the nation. You know how that happened? We never slept. We
yes,
worked sun up to sun up. And I didn't know. When I came to Atlanta and the brother said, me and my wife going on vacation, my wife and I looked at each other. Vacation? Didn't know Muslims took vacations. I kid you not, brother. That's just a part of my life that we just ignored. And it can be a strain and a burden to your family if you don't get some downtime.
Brother, you
it
said
really
a
can.
Mouthful.
I thank you for this, Brother Marcus. Go right ahead.
You said,
I'm sorry.
I'm telling you, you said a mouthful there, brother. There are so many of us who are almost, we almost there. We almost totally insane because we have not had that pressure valve relief. It's so much tension in so many marriages today, and all of the calls that we get are always around finances. And the
right.
fact that the brother or the there's just not enough income coming in to keep things afloat. Now, how long can you put up with that? How
right.
long can a family deal with that? We're all under tremendous stress and pressure. When I was with Brother Sharif last night at the hospital, he was sharing with us how many people are losing their minds all around us. Just look
right.
at the news stories that are coming out all over America. Husbands killing their wife and the children. You got wives. The wife, she killed herself and her children because the husband threatened divorce. I mean, this was just yesterday. This is the news that in every major city and even the minor ones, we've got to stop for a second and look at our marriage, because the wife is trying to tell the husband something, and the husband is really trying to tell the wife something, and we're missing it because we're running here, we're running there. I've got to move here. I've got to make this happen. I've got to make that happen. Brother, you got to make your marriage happen. And the Honorable Louis Farrakhan is our example. He's a wonderful example of truth and honesty. He said to us 1 year when he was preaching to us, that a man can't be all for God and not for his family. A man can't be all for God and not for his children. We can't be these straight up hardcore soldier, and then your family goes to hell. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I don't know a man who doesn't have his family as his soul, his family. Trying to keep that going. And that's all this is, brother. It ain't no big eyes, no little U's, because I hate that. I hate that concept of big eyes and little U's. We are brothers and sisters, and we are family. And if we just get back to treating each other like human beings and people and loving each other again, instead of, you know, the way we've been coming at it, maybe we could have more successful marriages. If we can talk to each other a little better, Brother Jihad, I think we could have better marriages. If we realize we're not talking to a dog when we're talking to our wife, when you realize your husband is not a robot, he's not some man that just takes orders all day. He's a man. He got feelings. He has a life. He has stuff that he would like to do. But how many of us are listening to each other?
Beautiful.
That's what this is about. This cruise is about togetherness. That's what this is about. And one of the most beautiful parts of yesterday for me was when Sister Anissa, she was there looking at her husband, and she was reflecting over the beautiful memories that they have had together. And she said to me, she said, me and my husband, we've been everywhere together. And see, that's what you got to have with a woman, that togetherness, that kind of bond, so that when brother goes or when the woman goes, the wife goes, you have all of those memories to reflect over. So when times get difficult, you can remember what you and that person had together.
All praise is due to Allah. Out on the front line with the fruit of Islam tonight. Thank you, Brother Marcus. Deadline again is October 16th?
October 16th. The website is www.blackmarriageretreat.com.
And I extend again to you as well as I be extended to Brother Vaughn. Any announcements you need to come on and do, Brother, you don't even have to ask. Just say, make room for me on Tuesday night. Whenever the National Believers meeting is not on, make some room for me, brother. I got something I need to get off my chest and talk to the community at large about.
Thank you, brother. We love you as well. Tell
the
Believers for me that they can call if they need any further additional information. Please go to the website first. If they need any additional information after they go to the website, which has everything you're going to possibly need, simply call me at 404-542-3808. That's 404-542-3808. Thank you again.
Crazy. Thank you, brother. And if you want to stay on tonight, brother, your line will be open. That's totally up to you, beloved.
My beautiful wife is calling me to dinner, brother. I have excuse myself.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum. Love you, family.
Wa alaikum salam. Love you back, brother.
And love you, Sister Gidget. Love you back, Sister Gidget. I'm like,
yes, brother, let's get on tonight with our show. We had to get that out the air, and then we're going to take our final call announcement, what's going on in the final call news. But let me first bring back to the panel in cyberspace tonight our two beautiful brothers, Brother Maurice Muhammad, backed by popular demand, and also Brother Kenneth Muhammad, attorney at law. Brother Kenneth, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum once again to the family. I'm Brother Kenneth Muhammad here at the mighty Muhammad Mosque number 12 in Atlanta, Georgia, serving our community. I've been here since about 12 years now, since around 2000. I came here via Philadelphia, Muhammad Mosque number 12, where I went to law school at Temple University School of Law. Before that, I studied at Villanova in Pennsylvania and soldiered with Brother Student Minister Rodney Muhammad in Philadelphia for several years in the 90s. And I'm here now practicing law, a solo practice that I have now that I've maintained for about 4 years. I've worked with a number of attorneys in law firms, large and small, throughout my career, but I am solo practice now. Working with our people in general practice, criminal law, family and domestic issues, and injury cases as well. I've seen some of everything over these 12 years and striving with Allah's help to bring about justice for our people.
Do you have a website or anything or a phone number that our listening audience, in case they would like to contact you?
I do. You can go to kennethmuhammad.com. That's www.kennethmuhammad.com. And I can be reached directly at 404-797-4440.
All praise is due to Allah. And we're going to get right to the heart of the matter while we're here tonight. We're here tonight to talk about Black America on lockdown. Okay, and last week, just to give the audience an overview of what we discussed last week with Brother Maurice and Student Minister, Prison Reform Minister James Muhammad from Alabama, we talked about the high incarceration rate of the Black nation in America. We have 846,000 that are Black males, Black America, that is on lockdown. Now, remind you, there's only 41 million Black people in the U.S. 18,583,000 are Black men. Okay? In the federal penitentiary, we have 206,968 That's in the federal penitentiary. Okay? Now, it varies in county jails. In county jails, it varies, so, you know, because of the in and out all the time. But the last number that we received in 2007, status-wise, was 743,728 in county lockup. Okay? That's a huge, that's a nation behind bars. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, knew, because he wrote several articles concerning this, how they would open up prison houses for our people. And so here we are today. So actually, we have an entire nation on lockdown. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about something and get some response from you concerning the argument, because a lot of our people on lockdown, they got extensive years, 20, 10, 15, 30 years, life without parole, life with parole. It's astronomical all throughout the country. Sister Gidget Muhammad gave me a statistic that in the state of California, all of those on drug conviction charges who decided to fight it out in court, they have a 100% conviction rate. 100% conviction rate for drug offenders in the state of California, for people who say, I'm going to fight it out. I'm not copping no plea. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm going to fight it out. Well, they have a 100% conviction rate in the state of California. So tonight, Brother Maurice and Brother Kenneth, I want to go back because I got several calls, Brother Maurice, concerning what we had talked about. Do you know that the Stand Your Ground law is being voted on in this election in five states? Five states have this on the ballot, voting this in. There's 25 states that are already acknowledged that they have the Stand Your Ground law. And I got calls concerning the replies that you talked about. Where did the origin of this law originate? Because some of us were under the impression that this was something the devil just came up with a few days ago and wanted to put this out to encourage people to be on the uprise and just go out here and start murdering people and be justified by law. And so Stand Your Ground states a person may use force in self-defense when there is reasonable belief of a threat without an obligation to retreat first. In some cases, a person may use deadly force in public areas without a duty to retreat. Now, you had talked about this, Brother Maurice, 2 weeks ago when we was on the air, about where this law came from. Can you go ahead and just elaborate for a minute? I just want to bring everybody up to speed to where we were 2 weeks ago so we can move on. Can you explain the origin of this law?
Well, you know, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, and we were just kind of grazing some facts that, you know, in Alabama particularly, the first Stand Your Ground case was actually dealt with, and the first one that made it to the Supreme Court of Alabama was in 1921. But the first one that was actually filed was in 1895, if I'm not mistaken. But what it basically stems from is a very basic principle that the minister has written a book about, and it's justifiable homicide. At what point does a person have the right or feel that they can protect their lives by taking someone else's life? And it pretty much stemmed from a very common law perspective of us dealing with self-defense and protecting our home, or what they call the castle rule, where a man's house is his castle, and rightfully so. If I'm in my house enjoying my business and enjoying my family, and an intruder comes in, then I should use I should use the necessary force to protect my family and to protect myself and to usher this person out of my house that would cause harm to my family or my loved ones. So it started out as a very, very noble principle. But what we see today has been so adulterated until now the Stand Your Ground law has now become so subjective that if I'm walking down the street, and I remember a few years back when we were teenagers, there was a case where a man decided he wanted to stand his ground in a subway, and the young man asked him for a quarter, and he shot five of them. Is that stand your ground? Is he protecting himself or his family, or is this a vigilante?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think as we are dealing with the stand your ground law, as we're looking at it, what we're looking at a rise of is we're looking at a rise of a people who are afraid of another group of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the Trayvon Martin situation has been isolated, but there are so many different stand your ground rules and shootings and assaults that have taken place over the years. Now, at a certain point, my question becomes, when is it a black man's opportunity to stand his ground?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when can we stand our ground in the face of danger? And the problem in some instances is we're standing our ground with our own brother rather than talking it out and working it out, because we have turned savage on one another, actually. So we have to begin to understand that this law, and not to get caught up in the hype. See, sometimes they will make things propaganda, and we don't really find the validity in it until way, way down the line. And it is so pivotal now that our legal minds come together to give our people some parameters of where they can begin to work and begin to move. I really believe right now we have a very, very strong job in front of us, but I'm more than know that we're capable of making it happen.
Right, right. Brother Kenneth, would you like to chime in on this?
Oh, yes, sir, my brother. And once again, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come on and speak with the people generally. Specifically with regard to stand your ground, my first experience with a case dealing with this principle actually dealt with two teenagers. One was a young white teenager. Another was a young brother. They were in the 16-year, I believe they were around 15, 16 years old. The white teenager shot our brother 14 times inside of his garage. The police came, looked at the scene, and saw that the garage window, basically the young brother went through the garage window, and they concluded that because he was inside of the white teenager's garage, that it was justifiable, even though the brother didn't have a weapon on him and he was shot 14 times.
Wow.
We came to find out that from phone records that they were on the telephone with each other literally seconds before the shooting, meaning that it wasn't even a minute before he got inside of the garage that had happened. We had gathered over time some evidence that made it appear as if our brother wanted to get some property back from the white teenager, that he was basically told, I can't give it to you, I'll get in trouble. It has to look like you took it.
Hmm.
And he basically came to the house, walked to the house from a long distance away. Brother didn't have a car. He basically went through the window, was shot 14 times, and even though the police and the prosecutors eventually acknowledged that they believed, the prosecutor said they believed that he knew he was coming, they knew why he was coming, and he knew he was coming through the window, that they still could not prosecute him under the existing law in the state of Georgia. The reason that they gave, the counter that I gave in the law in Georgia, it basically is like other laws throughout the country. A lot of them, a lot of these laws that are unjust come from this basic principle and feeling from the conservative end, number one, we want to be tough on crime. That's a part of it. Another part of it is an intentional, getting back to what you opened up with, some of the disparities, an intentional deliberate attempt to bring about disparities between the racial groups. But another part of it comes out in the whole Second Amendment. You know, we have the right to bear arms. We have the right to shoot whoever comes and, you know, violates me or my property, et cetera, et cetera. But the law in the state of Georgia basically uses the word reasonable and talks about a person using the deadly force if they have a reasonable belief or fear of apprehension of some danger. And the word reasonable, I argued, had to have some meaning, that if you are on the phone with the person and you know they're coming into your house, how could you possibly have a reasonable belief or a reasonable fear and apprehension, particularly after you shot them once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times, seven times, and it keeps going and going and going to 14 shots point blank. Now, it was taken to grand jury, and the boy walked. His family moved to Mississippi, and that's where they've been ever since. Every now and then, I see the brother's father. And the last time I saw the brother's father, you know, I'll see him a lot of times around the law libraries. And I saw him a few months ago, and we talked about the Trayvon Martin case, and we talked about other things. And he was in the law library just talking still about some of the meetings that we had with some of the county officials and things along those lines. But in the larger sense, just to kind of back up on injustice in the legal system in general, from the time that this is how I look at it. If you look at the juvenile population, mm-hmm. you know, we often, particularly because of the way the society is, will do something real dumb when we're young. For some of us that are around the wrong crowds, there'll be some, you know, it obviously has different levels of, you know, the different types of activities that we get involved in. But you'll find a lot of times that by the time we're, you know, 17, 18 years old, a lot of us as a people already have some small case that we got caught up in the criminal justice system. What happens is, in the way that these laws are written, particularly in Georgia, we'll have this on our record and convictions can't get expunged. A lot of brothers find themselves catching cases in domestic disputes, in some type of argument or fight, or with some kind of drug possession issue.
Okay.
A lot of times it's who are we in the car with, or, you know, some argument with the girlfriend, with the spouse, or something along those lines. But something gets a little bit out of hand at a moment of time. We now have charges pending against us. And what we find a lot of times is, even if there are defenses, that first go around, a lot of our people will be given some offer where it's just a slap on the wrist. And it's like, well, you can go ahead, you can, you know, enter a plea and everything will be okay. But what happens is, a lot of times we do that. Our people find it's harder to get jobs. We find we're on probation. So many times you have these requirements where you have to pay certain fees, you have to do certain things. With the economy bad, it's hard to keep up with the probation obligations. And to make a long story short, it basically sets us up so for when if we get caught up in some second situation, you may be on probation and you're getting caught up in something where now you're looking at a lot more time, or even though you just did the plea the first time because they told you, don't worry about it, you're just getting a slap on the wrist, they act as if you're a hardened criminal the second time something comes up because you have a history now.
Right.
So this is how brothers end up with one case, two cases.
Right.
Right.
The third go around, you might have just been around the wrong person, been in the wrong crowd or whatever. But basically, if once they start looking at a pattern, now you're guilty.
Right.
As soon as you come in there, there are a lot of laws with where you're a repeat offender, where it's easier for them to bring in evidence of things that you did on the past, in your past. So now you figure brothers are now in their mid-20s. Now they got their third case. Maybe they got their fourth case. A couple of them are minor. But these things start adding up. Once you get more cases, the amount of probation time that you have increases. If probation is longer, then the amount of time that you can do something wrong to violate your probation, it becomes easier. So what ends up happening is you'll go into these courtrooms and you'll see standing room only, where it starts 8:30 in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:30 in the morning, and they're there calling names and going through cases, going through people that violated probation. All hour after hour after hour after hour, and you'll find one black man after another, the sisters caught up in the system, probation violations, domestic disputes, marijuana was in the car in this one, and the same things over and over and over and over again. That's
and
what our people
adds
are caught up in.
And it just adds up. Well, let me tie this in because now we took a survey and we know now that we have on probation and parole between the two and those incarcerated, that's state, federal prisons and county jails, there's 8 million black people tied to the criminal justice system. 8 million. Now, mind you, there's 41 million of us. 18,583,000 are black men. So with 8 million people tied to the criminal justice system, this makes it very difficult now, because isn't there a law that you, now this doesn't apply to the Nation of Islam because we don't carry, keep weapons in our homes, but if you have a weapon in your home, you can't have a person living in your home, whether it's your daughter, your son, your niece, your nephew, mama, grandma, grandpa, if they are on parole or probation, you, the owner of a home, can't have a gun in your house to defend yourself. Is that correct? Because the person who's on parole or probation can't be around any weapons.
Right. That is correct. That's another thing that a lot of our people get caught up in, including along with being around people with drugs, is being around people with weapons. And you'll find, that they will be said to be in possession of the weapon, even if it's in a house or in a car that they are in. That does come up a lot. In Georgia, you're looking at 5 years just off of that.
Wow.
Brother Kenneth.
Yes.
Go ahead, Brother Maurice.
Brother Kenneth, could you explain very briefly, because what you just mentioned was constructive possession. Could you go into a little bit about constructive possession?
Well, essentially, if a layperson were to think, am I in possession of something, they're thinking, do I have it, am I holding it? Is it in my pocket? Is it directly on my person? Things that basically have it in your immediate, your immediate possession. What I was just talking about, and what comes up so many times in cases, and what I particularly tell brothers in probation, especially the young brothers, I tell them, all right, you're about to go out here. I know you got all of these friends, but if they have drugs and if they have weapons and you are around them, then you can be deemed to be in possession of it constructively. Meaning that is you're inside of the car that has it also where the item also is located, and the law will essentially deem you to be in possession of this particular item because of the prevailing circumstances surrounding you in proximity with that particular item.
Now, Brother Maurice, do you have a comment? Did you want to say something to that?
That's so true, because a lot of our brothers get caught up in that. And as Brother Kenneth was talking about, then we begin to get caught up in propensity-based sentencing, as he was talking about, one crime leading into another. And then what has happened, you'll hear a term called propensity. Now this person now has the propensity to be violent, the propensity to sell dope, the propensity or the ability to or the likelihood to do so-and-so based on his prior record or his prior convictions. So now they begin to levy sentencing based on certain propensities that we may have. And so that's another way they get us caught up, and we are caught up involuntarily. And sometimes voluntarily, but most times involuntarily, because we simply don't know.
Right. You know, there is a...
Jihad.
Yes, yes.
There's a... this is an excellent conversation. I'm thankful for all the brothers who are weighing in and bringing so much good information. There's another caller that is on the line from the 601 area code, 601-562.
601?
Yes,
sir.
Sir.
We'll take it, and then I'm gonna come back because I want to chime in with Brother Maurice and Brother Kenneth was saying. But go right ahead, 601. Caller, you're on the line.
Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, walaikum salam. Brothers, let me explain something. This is a boots on the ground report, but it's a different kind of boots on the ground report. This is the CEO. of Nation Building Network that your brother is privileged to be under. My brother, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing fine, beloved. I'm doing fine. I am enjoying the show. I've been listening in for the past few minutes, brother. I've been tired. Like I said, I don't have a lot of time to, you know, I don't have the time to commit myself to the radio shows. But since I am CEO and founder, I must contribute my ears to it at some point or another. And I'm actually enjoying everything that I'm hearing. I'm enjoying it, brother. I mean, your brothers are on it, and this is what our people need to hear. We need to hear more than just filth and jokes and nonsense. We need to hear intelligent, strong black men who know how to represent our people under the teachings of Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as given to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And you brothers are doing a wonderful job in representing our people, and I would like to commend all of you.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much, beloved. Thank you so much. How are we doing down in Jackson, Mississippi?
Brother, we're doing fine. Our people are so happy to see us, brother. And one thing I've noticed, and last night I had the privilege to speak on the rostrum to the FOI last night. I had the privilege to address them last night about my experience in dealing with the community, and I've noticed that a lot of sisters, and one thing about nation building, what we try to do, or what I attempt to do, is to promote strong relationships. We try to promote courtships and marriage and strong, healthy marriages. We try to get the believers to get married, because half of our faith is marriage.
Yeah.
Half of our faith is having a husband or wife. So I told the FOI, we got a lot of single FOI here. I told the FOI, I said, what we need to do, we need to recruit these sisters in the mosque. I said, no FOI can sleep with another FOI. I mean, the brothers, we're and you know, they think, brother Jihad, I got to tell you something. These brothers thought I was crazy. I think they thought I was crazy because your brother Rakim speaks his mind. I don't care. As long as I stand on truth, I'm going to forever speak my mind. And so, you know, other brothers gave their testimony, but they gave their testimony on a whole other level than me. Here I come. I'm this oddball, you know, giving my testimony on the rostrum. And I'm seeing these beautiful sisters. And what you actually are seeing are sisters who they've never seen nothing like the FOI, because we are a diamond among men. They've never seen nothing like us before. They see a man, he's clean, he's neat, he's well-disciplined, he's well-dressed, he's intelligent, he's strong in character. This is the type of personality that these sisters, they are not getting from our brothers off the streets. So when they see the FOI, it's like the opposite attracts. And I told these brothers, I said, brothers, you got to use this to your advantage. I mean, the sisters are seeing strong black men who are not saying anything out the way. We're not flirting with them. We're not making any sexual innuendos, towards them. So therefore, they seeing something that they never seen, as if we are like aliens from another planet. They never seen that type of character from a man before. And so I told the brothers, we need to get these sisters in the mosque. We need to get ourselves connected to Almighty God, Allah. And the only way we can get connected, we're trying to build a nation. And you cannot have a nation without first building a family. And you can't have the family without first building the relationship, or shall I say, relationship, courtship, and marriage between the black man and the black woman. So my report from last night is, to make the long story short, the sisters embraced the brothers, and the children, oh, man, we had some beautiful babies. They were saying, Farrakhan, Farrakhan, Farrakhan. We had the babies even saying Farrakhan.
Wow.
The babies were saying Farrakhan. The babies were reaching for final call. We give it to the adults, and the babies are reaching, I want a final call, too. And so what they were saying, and it's like we were like magnets to the children as well, because most of these sisters we saw were like in the projects. And these sisters don't have a man at all, or they have a so-called man at the house, and they see a strong brother. They want somebody that can be in a leadership position, that can be the head of the household, so they won't have to struggle and protect themselves. They want a strong black man that can protect them. And the children, they need when they saw the FOI, they saw strong black fathers. That's what they saw. And this is something that they apparently they are missing. Or if you check the statistics, that's what they're missing in the black community: strong black fathers. And
wow.
you know. And so I told the brothers, I said, brothers, most of you brothers single. I said, brother, you don't need Facebook. You don't need no dating site, which, you know, you got some brothers on dating sites. They don't like Muslim, singlemuslim.com and things like that. I said, brother, you don't need that. I said, you got jewels right here. You just got to polish them.
That's right.
You got to polish them. So,
beautiful.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
I don't want to take too much time talking about this subject, but the thing about it is we need strong fathers in the community, and the FOI are the best example of strong fathers and strong husbands. And we were embraced last night by the babies and the women, even the brothers. I had a brother come up to me last night, young brother. He looked like he was about 20 years old. He came to me. He said, brother, how can I be a Muslim? And that took me back to the Malcolm X movie when a brother came up to, Malcolm or a brother in the Malcolm X movie and asked him, how can I be a Muslim? And this was like 1992 when this movie came out. And here we are in 2012. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's powerful, brother.
Praise be to Allah, brother. Sounds like y'all doing some work down in Jackson, Mississippi, sir.
Yes, sir. We're doing it, brother. We're doing it, brother. As a matter of fact, we're doing work all over the planet, brother. Wherever you find a Muhammad's mosque, wherever you find the L4R, brother, we're doing work, brother. And as a matter of fact, brother Jihad, I got to commend you, brother. I'm so glad you came into Nation Building, brother. You are
yes,
a blessing from Allah to us, brother. I thank Allah for you, brother.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah, sir.
I'm glad to be on board. Yes, sir.
Thank you, beloved, for your call and everything that you're doing for nation building and down in Jackson, Mississippi, sir. And please call in anytime and chime in and let us know how we're doing in Mississippi, brother. That is our state, and we're going to take that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's ours.
I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate you for doing the wonderful job that you're doing. And I'm telling you something, brother. I couldn't be prouder. I got a big smile on my face, brother. Just talking to my brother and listening to this radio broadcast, brother. It is a blessing. And your brothers are on the show. I mean, I commend you as well. We all are a family. We all are a unit. The heart cannot work without the brain. The brain couldn't work without the heart or vice versa. I mean, we're doing it, brother.
Yes, sir.
And the people out there, they're listening, brother, and they're taking in, they're absorbing everything that you brothers are saying. And there are some young men tonight, they don't want to see jail. They've never been to jail. A lot of them never been to jail. A lot of them been to jail. And they don't know, they really don't know the dynamics that put them in those situations.
That's right.
And they need to hear what you
that's
brothers
right.
are talking about. They need
that's,
to hear this.
Absolutely. And that's why we're having this show. That's why we're having this show, Brother Rakim, because we need this in our community. Because what I was getting ready to say to Brother Maurice, there is a scripture that the devil says he summons his skillful enchanters, and he says, come, let us deal wisely with them. Well, what the devil has done, he has taken his laws. And the scheme is he takes his laws to lock down an entire people.
That's right.
Because he feared them going to Moses and Aaron, so he locks down an entire nation. We have almost an entire nation in America, black people, on lockdown. And it makes no difference how much money you have. We got millionaires going to jail. Just last night, Brother Kenneth, they showed one of our football stars down here who plays John Abram, strong linebacker down here. He was just happened to be observing a white girl trying to commit suicide downtown, jumping off a building, and the police told him to move on about his business. And, you know, Big John, he didn't take that too well. So they locked him up for obstruction. Now, he's a millionaire. They don't care about your money. This is a millionaire they locked up and kept him overnight, make bail, do all this kind of stuff. Got to go in front of a judge now, have a hearing and all this kind of stuff. So it's not even rich or poor no more. So for those of you who think your money is going, you can hide behind your money today, I got news for you. If you black in America, you got. It don't make no difference. So you need to come on board and get with this train here on doing something for ourselves and becoming independent and build a nation for ourselves, because they don't care nothing about your money. Let me get back to, yes, sir.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. I'm not going to disrupt your show, brother. Go ahead and say what you're about to say, black man.
Okay. I just want to, Brother Maurice, are you still there, sir?
Sir, I'm still here.
Let me get to the heart of this tonight, and I'm hoping we can get it all out and we don't have to continue on with another part. But if we do, I would love for you brothers to come back, because I want to get to the meat of what we're here tonight about. We realize now that this lockdown of black America is only going to intensify. We are now faced with now the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the Constitution of what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe. Now, for my two brothers on the panel tonight, here's the argument. Constitution, what the Muslims want, by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, point number four. We want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land, and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. Since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality after giving them 400 years of our sweat and blood and receiving in return some of the worst treatment human beings have ever experienced, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state, number one, or territory of our own. Now, before some of us say that this is an impossibility, let me explain what the definition of territory is before I get Brother Maurice to chime in on this and Brother Kenneth. Territory, according to dictionary, is an area under the jurisdiction of a nation or ruler, a part of a country or empire that does not have full status. Any large, number three, is any large tract of land. Number four, an assigned area. So these are the definitions of what territory means. Puerto Rico is a territory. St. Thomas is a territory. Territory, an area under the jurisdiction of a nation or ruler. Well, hell, Newark, New Jersey is a territory. Atlanta, parts of Atlanta is a territory. See, so if you got land, you can claim it as a territory. Well, I want to ask Brother Maurice and Brother Kenneth tonight, because, brothers, believe it or not, this is your day. Moses was a lawgiver. I brought you online tonight for the audience because this is your day. The minister brought the word. Now it's you and we who have to make the word flesh. How do we frame the argument? What are the components that we need to frame the argument to take to the Senate that you can take this argument and show just cause of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said here in the Constitution, point number four? I'll take anyone first, Brother Maurice or Brother Kenneth.
Brother Kenneth?
Oh, yes, sir. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that separation is more important than prayer.
Yes, he did.
And when I think of this argument, I first think of the desire of the person that is going to be separated, to be separate. If you look, for example, at what Mayor Bloomberg, the mayor in New York, did, they just announced that they're giving 13- and 14-year-old girls in school, in New York public schools, the morning after pill inside of their school now. When you have us not only dealing with the criminal justice system, but you have an onslaught against us in every field of human endeavor and every aspect of ourselves that could lead to our advancement, you have the society basically tearing down every avenue by which we can repair ourselves as a community, as families, etc., morally, socially, politically, financially. We have black elected officials, but if you look at the fact that they've stated recently that the black wealth, median black wealth, is about $5,000 per household as opposed to $130,000 for a white family. Basically, all we have is, you know, the flat screen TV, some furniture, and a few items, and that's our entire life, you know, life's work in terms of our possessions in 2012. So that all of this in terms of the push towards integration has gotten us, on average, as families, $5,000 worth of wealth compared to near $150,000 for whites. And you find the condition that we are in terms of land ownership, where I believe at one point in time recently they said that Ted Turner owned more land than all of the black people in America put together. When you look at our ability to make things happen for ourselves, to determine what we want to happen in terms of our schools and educational systems or anything, you find us in a dependent position where we really have nothing as a people. And the economy is going down right now. But when you look at the black unemployment rates compared with every other group, in every measurable category of human existence, we are on the bottom. In every health statistic, in all economic statistics, in unemployment statistics,
in all of these in educational performance, reading performance, math performance, and dropout rates. Every single measurable dynamic of human existence, we find ourselves on the bottom, with it getting worse. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan basically pointed out to us that as our people really don't want to be separate and haven't wanted to be separate, but the desire that our people have had for nearness to the white establishment, the American establishment, would only dissipate if Allah put his hands against their wealth.
Right.
As he now, put his hand against Pharaoh.
Right.
So
now, I don't want to cut you, but what I want because you're there now. What I want mm-hmm. you to do now, because we got maybe 15 minutes left, and then I got to bring the announcements on with the final call. Maybe we can do a part three of this in 2 weeks, because next week I believe it's a national webcast. But what I want you to do now, beloved, because you're now framing the argument, how do you present this package? What process would it take for you to take this argument to the Senate and make the case?
Right. Now, once we've established that the people want this, that it's it's the desire of the people for it, you essentially have to have the same happen with those that are actually deciding that they want to, you know, go ahead and extend it to us. I'm going to be completely honest with you and be realistic. I personally believe that it's a combination of what we do and what Almighty God Allah is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the two can be separated, because what happens is, and I know this is going to be a brief spiritual answer, it's not a legal answer, but you can't separate the two.
Well, that's what the minister said. He said that justice is both political and spiritual. But go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Basically, what happens in the time of judgment is that something happens in people's lives where they can see something happening physically and tangibly, where the consequence of sin has some physical manifestation. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that in the past you could sin and get away with it. There's been a whole time devoted for that. But in this particular time, you do something wrong and something physically will be there for you to feel the consequence and see it physically. That causes a person to say, why is this bad thing happening to me? That same principle happens with nations. If the country is going through drought, then
right.
the country is experiencing fires, then tornadoes, then all of these things, the power structure of America gets to a point of saying, why is all of this happening to us? What is it that we did, or what is it that we have that we need to get rid of?
Right.
Okay. Now, so Allah is bringing that about, and short of, without his involvement and the thought coming up in their head that there is something that they need to do, I don't think there would be an argument that we could present that would make people with these hard hearts do what we need, what it says in point number four. But as that intensifies and as it becomes so plain that a fool can't miss it, that something is going on where there has to be a change, things are happening that are unexplainable,
okay.
then the same God that has his hand against one has his hand on behalf of others.
Okay.
And it really takes the righteous being the righteous so that they are worthy of receiving the blessing. Because if
okay.
you have people that are not worthy of taking a kingdom, then you're just going to have Allah's hand against them, against us, the same as it was against those that were in power before us. So
okay.
as we clean ourselves up, as many of us are doing now, because we know we, as a people, we should be right, we should be in service to our people, we should be doing a lot of these things that we haven't been, as we clean ourselves up, we become worthy. And then in the Holy Quran, Allah says, I take from whom I please and I give to whom I please.
Okay.
So
let me stop you right here. Let me stop you right here. One quick moment, because now you just talked about the polling. So the first step would have to be we need a national debate on this issue, because here we have 8 million black people tied to the criminal justice system between parole, probation, federal prison, state prison, county lockup, so forth and so on. Now, there's a motivating force right there, because now here's point number 5 as we go on real quick, because we're running out of time. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If I may chime in very quickly before you move on to point number 4.
One second, because I just want to tie this in and then I'm going to let you respond. Just real quick, I just want to read it out there because the two go together. Mm-hmm. Here we go. We want freedom for all believers of Islam now held in federal prisons. We want freedom for all black men and women now under death sentence in innumerable prisons in the North as well as the South. Go ahead, Brother Maurice.
What I was about to say is that, you know, what we were talking about in 4, it seems to be virtually impossible when we're looking at it from a naked eye. But when we look at it from a historical eye, the precedence has already been set. In 1947, when the State of Israel was created, this was a territory that was set aside for slaves because a group of people could not treat those slaves or treat that group of people in a manner that was suitable. They were placed in very fertile and minerally rich land, and they have been provided for since 1947.
That's right.
I'm saying the State of Israel has basically been a model, or would be a model, for the exodus of black people all over America. And all over, really, the world.
Right.
If we look at it from a perspective that we can see it, that black people in Israel are very kin and cousin, if we understand it spiritually. Mm-hmm. Because what it is doing, it is setting the point, and it is setting a precedence, brother, that we can develop a separate state. See, when you're a member of the family of the State of Israel, you have dual citizenship.
Right.
Not only are you an Israelite, but you are also an American citizen. They provide you an opportunity to go vote in each election that is held in Israel that you don't even have to pay for. It's free transatlantic transportation, if you would. So, but the difference there is those Israelite descendants and those in what we see now as our Jewish people that are Zionists or Jews or whatever you want to call them, in that effect, they demand a certain level of respect.
Right.
See, when election time comes, they put their agenda before each and every one of their politicians. So you have to wear the yarmulke in order to get the endorsement.
See, Brother Maurice. Yes, sir, I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. You don't come into the Jewish community half-stepping, unlike in the black community, because in our black community, we have not yet sat down, even among ourselves, and formulated an agenda so that we can put the argument even before Congress or put the argument before the city council. We hadn't even put it before the city council. So how are we going to put it before Congress if we have not organized to a point that we can put it before Congress?
Okay, so now you're saying the first step to this is it has to be done on a local level first.
Well, I think it has to be done on a level that we are organizing ourselves on a local level.
Okay,
so that
because territory, we live in territories now. Because white folks don't want nothing to do with black folks, and most of our communities are already segregated and separated.
But right, you don't have to separate. That's already been done.
That's right.
You know, usually in certain instances, the only aspect of integration is on the economic level.
That's
but
right.
But socially, we are segregated. We don't go to church with white folks.
The only thing we may do is go to the country club or to the gym with them, but for the most part, we don't congregate with them. We don't deal with them from that perspective because socially, we don't do that. It's just financially. They want our money, but they don't want our company.
Right. Brother Kenneth, I didn't mean to cut you, brother. You had your hand up?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry to cut you off. I just wanted him to finish that point. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
That's fine. That's fine. The last piece of what I was saying, what I believe, is that once the current power structure is experiencing problems to that extent that I was describing, and we simultaneously are becoming worthy of inheriting from the God that has the power to allow us to inherit, then the argument is a very simple argument that we make. And that argument is, here are the list of problems that you have. If you follow this point number four, it will solve your problems.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's the one creating, and well, they really, their wickedness, their evil actions, where they will plan against our people, and then it'll trip up their own people and cause problems for them. But as his hand is against them, it causes problems. So what happened, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us about Yaqub and what allowed him to gain access to what he needed to become separate. They had a problem, and they had to come to him, and he said, well, look, I can solve the problem. So America is experiencing problems that their political system cannot solve, and they are getting worse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Our argument to them is, we go down the list, this problem, this solution will solve in this way. The next problem, our solution will solve in that way. And then they right now might think they don't need to do it because the problem, it hasn't gotten to the point it's going to get to. But we can make the arguments now.
I think
the problem intensifies, they're going to say, as it's predicted that they would, you know, they're going to see what the real cause of these problems are, and there will be many among them that will want this solution.
Now, I think that there is a political force rising in America right now that's ready to have this argument. Because if you listen to the Republican debates and the Republican arguments on these white talk shows, they don't want us here. And everything that they're talking about in these arguments that they're talking about, their PowerPoints to their why they need Romney to be president, is all dealing with them. They want separation. They're not calling it separation, but if you listen to it, neither party is talking about the black man and the issues that plague America. They're all talking about what we can do to keep in power. And so what they're doing is they're opening up the prisons and throwing us in there like a person takes their dirty laundry and throws it in the closet so they don't have to look at it.
Right.
See, so the argument is being formed, in my opinion. I think that the argument is now coming to surface. Nobody's calling the Honorable Louis Farrakhan a hater now. Everybody wants to hear from Farrakhan now. Why? You remember that they used to call the minister the separatist leader. See,
right.
Nobody's arguing with that now. And black people, when he comes into the community, they love him all throughout the streets. Everywhere he goes, people want to see him. Why? Because Farrakhan is talking the argument that's going to free our people. So I think that there's an argument being made now on both sides of the fence. White people, the rich white people, the rednecks, the haters of white people, they don't want nothing to do with black people, and black people are now being bit every single day. Loss of jobs, health care. Brother just got off the phone talking about health care, but look what you can't even afford to go to a doctor. 47 million people don't even have health insurance in this country.
Can I chime in?
That's another issue with that altogether. Yes, sir, we got two more minutes.
Yeah, I agree totally, and it's going to intensify. I think many of them now want us to separate in a way where we separate not having nothing.
That's right. That's
and
right.
I think the willingness is going to steadily increase for them to realize, okay, they need to separate and we need to solve this problem as well. But I think the argument can be made now, but the answer and the solution or the presentation is this is what will solve this list of problems that you have that's steadily increasing.
Oh, Brother Kenneth, I got to have you back, brother. Can you come back in 2 weeks? You think you can?
Before I commit, let me check the schedule and we'll talk.
Yes, sir, I know.
As long as it's possible.
Okay, and we have got, this is an argument, this is an ongoing argument from here on out for Black America and for America, whether they realize it or not. And again, I will tell you, this is your day, brother. The attorneys, Black attorneys in America right now with consciousness, you are now being birthed to do a great work for your people. You are going to become a Moses liberator for your people, whether you know it or not, because the minister said that justice is both political and spiritual. And both you two brothers are student ministers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad with the trade of law. This is your day. Brother Maurice, can you give us a quick comment for about a minute, and then I got to close out with the announcements of the final call news and other news. Can you go on and give us a minute? And brother, I'm sorry we couldn't get it all in tonight, but you know, Brother Harold, we had to go and talk about our brother tonight, so we didn't have a lot of time. But if you would come back in 2 weeks, brother, I hate to put you on the spot, but we'll talk about it off the air. But we've got to do this argument because this Constitution is walking right now of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Go right ahead, sir.
Dear brothers and sisters who are listening, I think one of our points right now that we really have to do, because we're at that point, as Brother Jihad said, is we're going to have to mobilize and organize, or organize and mobilize, so that we can speak with one voice, so that we will enable our attorneys and our different law professionals to go and speak on our behalf and not be splintered in our consensus. So, dear brothers and sisters, as we're thinking and growing, and as the minister, of course, will, I hope we pose this question to him on tomorrow when he speaks to the whole world and ask questions, ask Farrakhan on tomorrow. When he does that, I pray that we ask for insight so that our brothers and sisters can organize and mobilize this great word so that we can really defend and really go after our people. Brother Jihad, thank you for having me on. Brother Kenneth, it's always a pleasure to speak with you and always a pleasure to work with you, dear brothers and sisters. Dear brothers, so please, I'm on Facebook. Hit me up anywhere, anytime, Brother Jihad. Thank you for the opportunity. May Allah bless you and your listeners, and may Allah bless your families and all, and to Brother Harold's family. We love Brother Harold, and we thank Allah for him.
Thank you, beloved. Brother Kenneth, thank you so much, sir, for coming tonight. And I'm going to definitely try to get you two brothers back on because I want to finish this conversation. I think we kind of left it in the middle. And I would like to, if we can't do it in 2 weeks, maybe we can schedule it some other time. But we kind of leaving this conversation in the middle, and there's so much to this conversation in point number 4 and point number 5. And thank you both for coming on the line. You two brothers are truly diamonds among men, brother. You really, really are. And your hearts are beautiful. You brothers know the teachings. You're followers of the Honorable, Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's priceless within itself. But then you are attorneys. You know the law. You know how to make this argument in the case for our liberation. And so we've got to have you back to finish this up and deal with this properly. But brother, right now, let's close this out. Ask Farrakhan, Town Hall, September 26th, which is tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Submit questions to the Honorable Louis Farrakhan on askfarrakhan.noi.org. That's askfarrakhan@noi.org. And the minister is going to hold a town hall meeting, the first time this has ever been done, historic within itself. At this time, let me bring our brother on, Brother Gene. Brother Gene, are you there with the final call?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. So you got about 3 minutes, beloved. I'm sorry I had to cut you short. What you got tonight in the news?
Well, first I want to ask, have any of the callers and the listeners got the new edition of the final call?
No, I saw it online, but I don't have it in front of me.
All right. Well, just to go over what the final call is talking about, we all will bear witness that we thought travels at 24 billion miles per second, because everything that you brothers are touching on, that's just what this issue about. The
is that right?
Yes, sir. And I'm just gonna touch on a couple of topics. Everything you brothers are talking about is what this final call is. The front page of it, the question is asked, is what Romney and Obama missed.
Hmm.
It says, after two major conventions and with weeks left to campaign, president contenders have yet to address serious problems such as poverty, homelessness, urban violence, failing education systems, cost of wars, and impact of domestic programs. So while that is talking about that whole subject, Dylan, nobody is speaking about the poor, the violent, and black people.
Right.
That's just the first topic. Now, for us being accepted in the community when the soldiers go out on the ground on Monday and Saturday, you know, there's another article in here, Powerful Homecoming, a message of peace comes from New York when the minister went out in New York City. But the question should be asked is, why is the people so receptive to the Nation of Islam and the fruit of Islam going out into communities? It's not just that the Honorable Farrakhan is a great speaker and they listen to it, but mm-hmm. it is a calling. It is in the core of their being. And what all I have to say is the reason that the people are so receptive to us, that we've got a work to do, because our people are yearning for us. It is at the core of their being, of who they are. And my local minister always teaches that Islam is not a religion. Islam is the way of life. And we've got a work to do. And last but not least, the brother was talking about assault on black youth. There's an article in here about assault on black youth, and the question is asked, the title of the article is The Lion, the Cub, and the Cobra, the Fear of Farrakhan's Connection to Black Youth.
Mm. Wow.
It says, picture a lion trying to rescue his baby cubs from the jaws of a cobra. The cubs are having a good time. Young black people out here playing games, having a good time, not being conscious of what's going on and how the enemy is waiting to just swallow them up, which is the cobra. And that article is on page 25. And that's illustrate what the brother was talking about earlier, about how the young youth out here having a good time. And yet this title, The Lion, the Cub, and the Cobra, describes everything he was talking about. But for us to rap music, what I say here in St. Louis is put a T in front of rap. You got trap music. It is a trap. Just like a trap house, it is a trap.
Wow.
So I bear witness that thought travels at 24 billion miles per second, sir, because this whole conversation takes place. It's right here in the new edition of The Final Call.
Thank you, Brother
Jihad.
Yes.
We are coming down to the last minute.
I'm getting ready to shut it down right now. I like to be disciplined and be on time. I'm getting ready to shut it down right now, and I just want to thank all for coming on the line tonight. There's a prayer line that I use every morning. It's the Nation of Islam's prayer line called NOI Final Call Prayer Line. The number is 760-569-7676. The code number is 906-378-POUND. That's hosted by Captain Emeritus Curtis Muhammad and his co-host, Brother Wali Muhammad, out of Chicago. All right, so get on the line at 6 o'clock in the morning. Start your day with the NOI prayer line, Final Call prayer line. May Allah bless all of us for coming out, and I'm sorry if I've missed anybody tonight. Inshallah, the webcast will be next week, And so we'll be back the following week out on the front line with the fruit of Islam. Thank you, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who's in New York and New Jersey, and he's putting it down in the streets. May Allah bless our minister, bless the soldiers with our minister, and let's keep boots on the ground, soldiers, all across the country, Monday night, Thursday night, Saturday. Let's hit it and don't quit it. May Allah bless us all. As-salamu alaykum.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. What is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help to deliver the 17 million or more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. To do this, he is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable.